back. Corey Good with us, Dr. Michael Sala. Michael, the book itself just came out. It's pretty new, isn't it?
Well, that's right, yes, brand new. Actually, this show is really, in a way, the official launch of the book, and I'm really happy to be able to talk about how this book, I think, can really help get Corey's message out to a wider audience.
Great.
that are really not yet familiar with just how much evidence is out there supporting his testimony.
And he's got guts, too. Tell me about Admiral Byrd and his trips, Michael.
Well, Admiral Byrd is a key figure because it was he that was very much involved with finding and actually ferreting out the Nazis that had established bases in Antarctica, both before and after the Second World War. What's really significant is that in 1939, Admiral Byrd received orders from President Roosevelt to travel down to Antarctica in some Navy ships to actually locate any Nazi bases that had been established that might be actually infringing on territories that the U.S. Viewed as potentially being in violation of the Monroe Doctrine. So there, Roosevelt's directive or orders to Admiral Byrd is very significant because it shows that the Nazis actually did establish bases in Antarctica before the Second World War began. And as Corey has described in his testimony, basically that became the basis for a breakaway civilization that the Nazis had developed that was distinct to what was being developed by the SS in Europe, which was more of a weapons program. Mm. And then after the Second World War, Operation High Jump, that many people are familiar with, is when Admiral Byrd, for the second time, received orders to locate and basically ferret out any Nazi bases. And this time he did, but he was unsuccessful because the Nazis actually had established an alliance and had their own technologies as well, where they were able to basically inflict great damage on the naval task force that Admiral Byrd was in charge of.
What is going on now at Antarctica, Michael?
Well,
I hear a lot of strange things there.
Well, that's right. Antarctica is a place that has had many different bases established for millennia now. What the Nazis had located during the Second World War were the bases and the facilities of some other groups that had established a presence there. And Antarctica continues to this day to be a place where there is a lot of advanced projects that are underway. And to what extent the Nazis continue to have a presence in Antarctica, that I'm not familiar with. Maybe Corey can shed some light on that. But certainly I know that the Russians have established a presence there. Lake Vostok is a place where they've put a lot of resources. And I think Antarctica is definitely a place with many secrets.
Corey, what's your take? What are some of those secrets?
Well, underneath the ice of Antarctica, there are a lot of ruins of an ancient civilization. And one of these civilizations that went below ground, it belongs to one of these civilizations that went below ground. And there were three main cities that were still underneath domes of ice because of the volcanism under the ground,
mm-hmm.
that kept kind of almost, it looked almost like lava tubes, the complexes under the ice.
Were they living under the ice, or was that just a process of what happened to them?
They were living mainly under ground.
Okay.
In the inner earth, you mentioned hollow earth. It's more of a honeycomb earth with huge caverns larger than Texas with giant cities in them.
Still ongoing?
Absolutely. And there are well over 100 cities documented. And these groups were working hand in hand with some of the elites above ground up until very recently, when there were some major disagreements. And there have been some shadow wars and battles going on below ground.
Huh. So they weren't all friendly to each other.
No, not even all the civilizations below ground were friendly to each other, but they somewhat had an understanding.
All right, let's take some calls. We've got a lot of people interested in what's been going on with you two. Let's go to Los Angeles. Jerry, first-time caller. Go ahead, Jer.
Yes, good morning to you gentlemen.
Hi.
Corey, have you ever had contact with the with Nibiru, Planet X?
No, I have not.
I worry about the Anunnaki, the Pashats, and other species that were there, but maybe Michael Sala might have a comment.
Well, the Nibiru information, there's a lot out there. I don't think that's something that has been shown to be conclusively demonstrated to be really a planet, as opposed to maybe a planetoid under intelligent control and maybe out of phase. But there's just so many different opinions and so much literature out there on that. I really don't know what is going on.
Corey, when we talk about visitations, we have talked about it in terms of extraterrestrials coming to this planet. It's beginning to seem that most of this is already on the planet.
Yes, a great deal of it has actually been from ancient civilizations that have had their own breakaway societies and civilizations. A great deal of it has been, and they have pretended to be gods and have pretended to be ETs from other star systems. But that does not negate that we have indeed had quite a number of non-terrestrials that passed through, visited, and also these large group that have had a vested interest in our planet for many millennia in this grand experiment.
Corey, were we seeded, as many have predicted?
Were we seeded?
Seeded by extraterrestrials. Did they make us?
Well, as a part of the documentation I read that these 22 different groups put forth, they all claim to have created us and enhanced us with their genetics. All 22 of these, pretty much they're like dissertations,
mm-hmm.
like you would see college papers that were put forth by these 22 different groups that were loosely working together.
What have you heard, Michael?
Well, that's very interesting, that figure that Corey gives of 22 different extraterrestrial civilizations or experiments being conducted on humanity, because that's the same number that Alex Collier says that he was told by this group that was called the Andromeda Council, that there are 22 different extraterrestrial groups that have historically manipulated human genetics. And that they have a vested interest in humanity in terms of where we go, where we decide to go collectively, and that they are here now. And that's what Corey has been saying in terms of this super federation that he describes having attended and having witnessed these different extraterrestrial groups discuss various issues concerned with humanity.
Okay, back to the phones we go. We have Mike in Montreal. Michael, go ahead.
Good evening, George, Corey, and guests. I really am enjoying tonight's show a great deal. I've always had a fascination for the general topic of the advancements that the SS and the Nazis had made. Over 30 years ago, I read a book that claimed and showed some pretty solid evidence that the Nazis had actually developed the atomic bomb far before we had, and that they had extensive facilities, and the main issue was they were putting together the correct ballistic rockets to be able to launch those weapons on the United States. They apparently, the way that the whole thing came down so that the United States didn't lose the war is that in exchange for dropping their nuclear program and handing over all the materials that they had, heavy water, uranium, etc., in exchange for doing that, they would allow Hitler and most of the top brass to escape. And there's reports, I'm sure George has had a guest on that spoke about the missing U-boat that apparently a lot of Nazis escaped on. In any case, that was the deal supposedly made, and that's why we were the first to drop the nuclear bomb. What did you think of that?
Well, that's very close to the information that was presented to me. And that could very well be part. They will wrap deals within deals to get as much as they can out. But the groups that they were working with were opposed to nuclear weapons. These ultra-terrestrial, these underground groups are very much opposed to these nuclear weapons. And they were helping them with the information that they had recovered from Tibet, the Vimana, and all these other ancient technology manuscripts that they had found that they were trying to reproduce technologies with. They offered to help them if they abandoned their nuclear ambitions. And according to the information that was given to me, they did abandon their nuclear ambitions for what they saw as a better deal.
Corey, throughout any of this, did you come across any violent extraterrestrials?
Absolutely.
Oh, boy. What happened? And what was their goal?
Well, during part of the program, they brought me into an intruder intercept and interrogation program. There were some very nasty groups that were coming in and abducting humans and scooting out of the solar system very quickly. They were taking 1, 2, and up to even small villages of people in China, India, South America, Africa, in areas where they could, you know, kind of get in there and shoot and scoot and get out. And they, when they were able to intercept these groups, they were very nasty.
Were any of them collecting us?
Yes. Well, later on there became a huge interstellar slave trade for humans that is pretty disturbing. I don't know if you want to get into that, but
yeah, no, please.
There's a whole variety of reasons that they are interested in humans. These other groups, we are, strangely enough, we're known for what a lot of people believe we were bred for is, you know, our slave labor. We're good engineers, good slave labor. There's a disturbing sexual component to it. And there's also, they're interested in our genetics are a little unique. There's not normally on planets, there's not normally the diversity that there is on our planet. We've been so genetically manipulated that our genes pretty much reach out to be spliced with other non-terrestrial genetics. So there's that component, and there's different groups that use different parts of human beings for sustenance.
Oh, boy. Always suspected that.
Mm-hmm.
I think Rod Serling did, too, when he did his Twilight Zone film. An episode.
Yeah, that's always been a part of the dark lore of ufology.
Let's go to Eddie in New York City. Hello, Eddie. Good morning, sir.
Hello. Boy, Boy, what a great show this is tonight.
Oh, my
man.
Gosh.
You could do 4 hours with these people.
You got that right.
What I was going to ask is about the Kecksburg UFO. In the mid-60s, Michael, you may have some information on this. Is this UFO that landed in Kecksburg one of the Die Glocke German UFOs that Hitler sent out? And also, I have a comment I'd like to make.
Yeah, go
about,
ahead.
About this. I'm starting to write a book about what this is, what this planet and the solar system is. And I'd like to know how you people feel about this. I believe that this solar system is the dumping ground of extraterrestrial biological entities, meaning human beings and what's ever here on Earth. And you should see what's on Mars.
We're the prison planet.
That's right. And also Mars. I think the entire solar system, which I don't know if we've investigated it, I think the entire solar system has all these biological entities, gargantuan in size, some, and maybe some not so gargantuan, that are living here, and they created our biology so that we can't escape.
Corey, are we the prison planet?
Well, we're definitely a part of a grand experiment, and he is correct that there have been for some time a lot of different non-terrestrial refugees that have come to different moons, planets, and our own, below our own planet, and have set up embassies, bases, whatever you want to call them. But I don't know if I would, it's a prison planet. In a way, it's a giant school, but it is a part of a larger grand experiment that even these 22 different groups that are experimenting on us, they have said that they are a part of this grand experiment themselves. So it is wider and more encompassing than most of us can really wrap our minds around right now.
And Michael, could Kecksburg have been a Nazi craft that came down?
Well, possibly. I know it's a very well-documented case, but one of the things that I think it's worth pointing out here is that it is very likely it was some kind of temporal device, and that's one of the things that is very important about these secret space programs, that temporal devices or temporal technologies have been developed very early on, and that the Nazis actually were pioneers in that. And in fact, one of the things I found intriguing about Corey's testimonies is that he served on a ship that was named after a famous German astrophysicist who was credited with being the first to talk about time travel technologies, Arnold Sommerfeld.
Let's talk a little bit about time travel when we come back.
Don't forget to watch our TV show, Beyond Belief with George Norrie. Simply go to beyondbelief.com. To talk toll-free from east of the Rockies, call 800.
Takes contaminated water and makes it safe to drink. Extraterrestrial alliances. Michael, do you think other countries have secret space programs, the Chinese, the Russians?
Yes, I think all of these countries have been closely observing what has been happening in the United States. But the person who I believe really, well, actually this is based on what Corey has revealed in terms of the development of a space program called the Galactic League of Nations space program, that was actually sparked by Ronald Reagan's speech at the United Nations in 1980, 1987, where he basically called all the nations to get together in the case of a hypothetical alien threat, that behind the scenes, Reagan was actually encouraging other nations to come together to jointly develop a collaborative space program rather than have rival programs, and that that appears to have been accepted. And I believe this is why the Cold War ended. And so it was really a momentous development, and the world still doesn't know the truth about this development of an international space program that was developed because Ronald Reagan really did believe humanity had to get together to face an alien threat.
Corey, there is a program that we've come across, and I want to get your reaction about it, called Project Serpo, which is supposed to be a governmental and in ET trading of astronauts and ETs. Did you come across anything anywhere that would verify that?
Not that not that specific program, but there were exchange programs that were going on. So that Serpo story could be based on those exchange programs, or it could be, actually mostly or partially true based on one of them.
With the ETs, do we know what planetary systems they were coming from?
We do know some. We also know that there were several groups that we thought were from certain star systems, but we found out they were from here and had been lying to us. And there were some other extraterrestrials that were telling us that they were from certain star systems, but for operational security standpoints, they either just had outposts in those star systems and were from completely different star systems, or they had nothing to do with the star systems they were telling us they were from. So they started giving them alphanumeric designations.
There's supposed to be what is called the Black Knight satellite circling our planet that apparently came from another solar system thousands of years ago. Have you heard anything about that?
There were two satellites that were in orbit of the planet, and I believe one left in the late 50s or early 60s that were ancient. There's a picture that's circulated out on the internet that's supposed to be the Black Knight, but that is actually some insulation that did float away from the International Space Station, or the one of the shuttles that was photographed. That's one photograph that's going around that people are touting as the Black Knight is not. It is space junk.
Michael, what have you heard about that?
Well, really haven't heard anything about the Black Knight satellite that I think is conclusive. I mean, there's just a lot of rumors and a few pictures, but nothing really definitive.
Okay, let's go back to the calls now. Let's go to Bob, truck driving in Texas. Hey, Bob. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, great show. A couple questions and comments first. The Sphere Being Alliance, I was curious. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, sorry. Sphere Being Alliance, they are talked about with the AndromedaCouncil.com website as being one of the four races that will be the first visitations on Earth over the next 18 months, as well as go to YouTube. You can actually, in the search parameters, just type in orb around the sun, and you can actually see the SOHO satellite from NASA captured an orb siphoning power from the sun because they had to refuel the spaceship, basically. And I was curious about the technology. If you also on YouTube type in triangles on the sun, The Andromeda Council talks about how that is actually the sun is kind of like the phone number for the solar system, and the triangle is the door opening up for fleets and ships to come in, and the biospheres and the sphere being alliance is all part of the Andromeda Council, or the Galactic Council, that we'll be visiting over the next 18 months.
Corey, can you shed any light on that?
Well, they are not associated with the Andromeda Council that much, I know. These giant spheres are not spacecraft. They are not a technology. They are basically these smaller orb beings that we have seen, that people have described interacting with on the planet the last couple of decades. But they are of a different density being. They're a higher density being, and they have they've been seen three different sizes: the size of the Moon, Neptune, and Jupiter. And they have been seen coming in through the Sun, which the Sun is a portal, and also from the direction of the Oort cloud. They've been coming in from two different directions, and that is something that has been observed by ground-based SOHO, the known space programs like NASA, the European space programs, and also the secret space programs have been observing this for quite some time.
Corey, you were regressed, were you not?
Age regressed.
All the way back, what, 20 years?
Yes.
What was the purpose for that? Why did they do that?
They would take assets, human being assets, off of the planet, and there was some sort of an agreement or some sort of rule that they had to return these people to the same place and time that they took them from. And the people that they took were assets, being intuitive empaths. Some of them were scientists. Some of them were engineers. Just everything you would need to be in the space program.
Well, they covered all their bases, didn't they?
Right. And the actual process of the age regression, you are put under anesthesia, and it is it was about a two-week process to where you have to be kept totally immobile. And where you cannot move at all during this nearly 2 week process.
Let's go to Lynn now in Los Angeles. It's your turn, Lynn. Go ahead.
George, I'm your guest, probably Corey. I wanted to know about the blue avian. Have any of these beings ever been in darker shades of blue, like indigo?
Yeah, they're the same color. They're like an indigo blue, and also a violet, indigo violet with purple and blue, a mixture.
Lynn, I'm curious, why ask about the color?
Why?
Yeah.
Because the one I saw was dark blue, but he had a different profile than what you have in your picture here. He had.
I could not see
his hair or feathers or anything like that. I just saw the profile of him. He did have a nose, but he had no bridge in the nose. It came straight out from his forehead out. But he was dark blue, and he had lots to say.
How many different races of blue avians are there, Corey?
Well, I haven't heard of. I heard that there was a, I can't remember her name, a lady that reported back in the 80s or something, talking with a blue avian. But most of the avian non-terrestrial species are not blue. But there are several avian species out there that are, you know, and that are more closer to our level, that use spaceships, use technology, you know, are third, fourth density, I guess people describe them as. They rely on technology, they eat food, you know, they're they travel to and from one star from another in a physical craft. The blue avians are in the sixth to ninth density range, and they travel by their energy. They travel by thought. They adjust their selves to the vibration of the location they want to be.
So far advanced.
And they're there.
They're way ahead of us, aren't they?
Yes, yes, yes.
Let's go to Happy Valley, California. It's Joe's turn. Joe, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, man, how's it going, guys?
Good, Joseph.
I was really happy to hear Tommy answer the phone. I'm so happy.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyway, I saw a great movie about temporal agents with Ethan Hawke. It's called Predestination. You guys should check it out. I just want to say the Nazis must have been contacting evil entities, because I don't think any good entities would want to help the Nazis at all. And I think Donald Rumsfeld probably gave out a little bit of what went to the Black Ops space program when he said that $3 trillion was missing before 9/11. But that's all I have to say, and have a great show, guys.
Okay, thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Well, who knows what, you know, how did they finance the secret space program, Michael Sala?
Well, the secret space program, as it's being run in the United States, is funded by many illicit activities. I did write a black budget report back in 2003 that analyzed the figures that were available from the Inspector General's report of the Pentagon's auditing irregularities, and it showed that between the years of 1998 to 2000 that there was $1.7 trillion a year that could not be accounted for using traditional auditing mechanisms, that suggested that the space program was funded by that amount of money, which at the time was about five times the size of the Pentagon. And that would kind of be exactly the kind of money that would be required to fund something so vast as what Corey has been describing.
Let's go to Tennessee now. It's Tommy's turn on Coast to Coast. Hi, Tommy.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. Interesting information,
sure
Corey
is.
And Dr. Sala. I enjoy it. Corey, I wanted to ask you if you could talk about the Sloth colony on Mars and the different 900 ET civilizations that they're trading this high technology with. I understand there's really nothing they can't do, and they've been all over the place, every planet in the solar system. Could you elaborate on that a little bit, please?
Yeah, sure. When we were brought to this this Mars colony that was also a part of a complex that built a certain component, a bio-neuro-interface component for craft and for other technologies. But we were given a dog and pony show by the ICC, the one of the secret space programs that is basically a corporate conglomerate that controls everything in our solar system. And they showed us a visual, a vast amount of the technologies that they trade with up to 900 different ET groups that come and go through our solar system, as we're in a sort of Silk Road in our galaxy of, and close to our solar system, very close, is a part of what is called the cosmic web, a natural portal system to travel from star to star and to other galaxies. So we're in a very high traffic area of our arm of the galaxy.
Corey, are you concerned about your safety at all?
Yeah, more and more recently with some of the things that have happened with my family and around my home. We're taking more and more security precautions. And
well, that's smart.
Yeah, there's a couple other things we're going to implement that I'm not going to advertise.
Huh. How about you, Michael?
I have had a serious hacking attempt on my website that actually took it down for 3 days.
I remember that.
That was shortly, actually just an hour after the announcement for this show, that my website went down for 3 days. And I think maybe people on the inside are very frightened of what would happen if the public learned the truth of the revelations Corey has been making. And I do want to emphasize that, you know, this is not just a matter of Corey sharing a lot of stories. There's a lot of evidence supporting everything Corey has revealed, and that's something that I detail in the book, that there is supporting evidence. There are other whistleblowers who have said similar things, and there's a lot of also circumstantial evidence, contemporary circumstantial evidence, substantiating what Corey has said. So he's definitely got a lot that can change our lives.
Oh, he sure has. Very controversial, but what a story. Thank you, Dr. Michael Sala, Corey Good. The name of the book, Insiders Reveal Secret Space Programs and Extraterrestrial Alliances. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, he's back. Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Morrison, George Knapp. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition.